heard the first reading before from Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. If you focus on these words, in the year that King Uzziah died, sees the Lord sitting on a throne and hears the seraphim calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory. The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of the one who called, and the temple was filled with smoke. I cried, I am doomed, I am ruined. And the angel took a coal and touched my lips. Look, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear Christian friends, another Epiphany moment lit up by our Lord Jesus Christ for us to receive the light and reflect it wherever we live. So let's say you're having a conversation with your surgeon. Just happen to ask, how many of these have you done? Well, you have the honor of being my first. I don't know if that's ever happened, but you're going to feel what? Honored? Or a little anxious? But let's say you are the surgeon. You grew up in a family that never acknowledged yours or anybody else's accomplishments. So no matter how hard you tried to be perfect growing up or how many student awards you won, even graduating at the top of your class and becoming a trauma surgeon, family never accepted you. And that's not a made-up story. That was LinkedIn Wells Mission stories sent out this past week. If you're not on that mailing list, you're missing some great things, and it's linked in a few copies we were able to make of the sermon enough for today. Copier machine was acting up, so I guess the microphones wanted to do that too. Are they working now back there, the microphones? No, still not. So it's just going to tickle my face the whole time that I'm up here and not actually do what it's supposed to. And to me, this is like, aren't you glad that prayer doesn't work like that? Aren't you glad God's Word doesn't work like that? The Holy Spirit is not dependent on the best of our technology. Copier machine. Whatever. But this man linked trauma surgeon, last name Lester, I think. Look it up. Jerry. His family never accepted it. And he finally realized that the feelings he got from all that were kind of the way his church life was going too. Because he'd go in and dutifully confess his sins to the priest and be told how many Hail Marys to say and what penance to say, he'd feel better for a while, as he describes it, but then the next week, again, have to go in and do the same thing. Not actually told. No real absolution, the way the Bible says. How do you live with that? He and his wife finally looked to the Lutheran Church and thankfully ended up in one of ours. And that's what the video is about, how comforting this is and how he and his wife keep taking the Bible information class, if I heard it right, 7 times. And I remember members of ours who came out of that background too telling me, "Pastor, I don't go to church because I have to anymore. I go to church because I want to." That's what he said. The surgeon. What I say. Because ultimately what the Bible teaches us is that when you're the least qualified, and you know it, time to come. You're the ones the Lord wants. Least qualified, can you admit it? An honest admission, that's where the Lord is trying to get us. This honest admission, which which comes so hard, and it gets harder the more educated you are and experienced you are, the harder it is to come to an honest admission. What are we like in our natural way? I mean, we're illustrations all around. There used to be one at my window. He's a beautiful yellow finch. And he gets so mad looking at his own reflection in my office window. Sometimes when I didn't even see him there, I'd hear, I thought he was going to break the window with his beak. Territorial, I guess, huh? Or are we more like the dog in Aesop's fable? But the dog with its reflection, the butcher gives him a nice big bone. You know, he's running home ready to enjoy that bone, goes across a little bridge, and he sees this dog reflection. And it's got a bigger bone than he has. This is a fable, so you can take it or leave it. He jumps into the water after the bigger bone, that dog, and of course he has to then swim to shore, loses his bone, the whole thing. How easily distracted are you? Here, there, and everywhere, you've known people like that. They're so religious, and they try so hard, and they mess up so bad, because they can't make the honest admission. You study the Kings, in 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you see this, especially in the kings in the south. There's 19 south in Judah, 19 north in Israel, split kingdom, divided at that point. All bad up north in the 19, but down south there were some good ones. And what good one was named Uzziah? Or Azariah, depending on where you look. Don't you love that? Azariah, Uzziah, same guy. This was a king who started ruling when he was a teenager, 16 years old. 52 years he's the king. Back 52 years. That was my sophomore year in high school. I did the math, right? Which may or may not be true. But that's a long time. Uzziah was a great king, loved agriculture, expanded the borders of Judah, had a powerful army, had military weaponry, catapults and stuff like that. This guy was an advanced king. But it went to his head. He offered incense in the temple. The priest corrected him. He's raging at the priest in the temple. And on his forehead, leprosy breaks out. Uzziah the king got leprosy. We don't know how long. But the last part of his reign, he was shut off from all people. Because that's one of the things that the uncleanness of that, we don't know exactly medically what it was. It could have been various skin diseases, but it was in the law of Moses. You're unclean. You're out. He came into the presence of God thinking that he was qualified. Found out the hard way he was not. How hard is it when you're really experienced and knowledgeable about something? Every year at this time, these past few years, it's been getting warm enough that they're calling for the ice houses to come off the lakes. Not there yet, are we this year? Getting smiles. In the past, I've given the Oregon boys view of ice fishing, but we'll skip that today. You love it, enjoy it. But the more experienced you are, the less you like somebody trying to tell you how to do it. Especially some traveling preacher who needs to talk to the crowds and borrow your boat. See of Galilee, Peter, gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 5. That's not the first time Peter and his brother Andrew and their partners John and probably James too met Jesus back in John chapter 1. John the gospel writer, but talking about John the Baptist. They were listening to John the Baptist, and that's where they met Jesus. Now they're up in Galilee, and the crowds are gathering, and Master, it's been a long night. But since you say so, I found the net somewhere in the deep. They still cast nets like that on the Sea of Galilee and pull them in, and whatever is in them, that's your catch of fish. But this fisherman is tired. He's a professional. He knows what's what. Okay. Isn't that amazing? He's in the presence of God. He thinks he's qualified. And the Lord wants to lead him to an honest admission. How? With so many fish that the nets are breaking and they call their partners to come over, and then two boats are sinking. Have you ever had such a great blessing that it just makes you feel guilty? This is not that uncommon. But for Peter, in the presence of the Lord, he suddenly feels the Lord's holiness. Son of God, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's the reaction of the sinner in the presence of God's holiness. When you finally realize, honestly, and can admit it, I don't deserve to be here. Your Christian friends who could come on a cold Minnesota day to church, understand when guests come through our doors that they may feel very much like that, coming into the presence of God. And you know people out there who think they got to get their life all lined up first so that they feel qualified to come. And you need to tell them you got that backwards. God is not making a factory for coasters that set on the surface of finished whatever to keep it nice and polished in a museum for saints. Right? Hospital for sinners. That surgeon in that video talks about that. Our pastor told us it's a hospital for sinners. And I feel welcome here, right? We need to let that be known, because that's what Isaiah was finding out. In the year that King Uzziah, finally, the leper king, died. And in that year, in the temple, most holy place in Judah, where Uzziah got leprosy raging against the priests, high above that, higher than the most holy place, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and exalted, out of time and space, because the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, that's plural for seraph. Seraphim in Hebrew means multiple, high-ranking angels, and these have six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they flew. One called to another and said, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. It used to say, but that doesn't make sense to people these days. So the EHB translates Lord of Armies when you would normally have seen Lord of Hosts. So people understand that. The whole earth is full of his glory. So these fiery seraphim, which is what that word means, the fiery ones, are calling out the holiness of God in fear. That makes them use two wings to cover their faces, two to cover their feet, and two to fly as they call out these words. And it rattles the temple right down to the foundations of the thresholds. Holiness of God in his presence. It's not too much of a wonder then that I said, I am doomed, I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. In a minute, he just did what the Lord wants. During the Lenten season this year, starting in a few weeks, first Wednesday of March, we're going to be studying Psalm 51. David's psalm after he committed adultery. point. And then look how quickly comes his empowering grace. As soon as those words leave Isaiah's lips, one of the seraphim flew to me, carrying a glowing coal in his hand, which he'd taken from the altar with tongs. So if you think about it around the campfire, and you see those red hot coals, don't touch them. Use tongs. Must have been a super hot fire. But I just noticed as I was reading it that he was carrying the glowing coal in his hand. The seraph, singular. And it didn't burn Isaiah the prophet. Interesting fire, isn't it? Kind of reminds you of a burning bush that wasn't burning up out there in the wilderness with Moses. Fires of the Lord. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, "Look, or behold, this has touched your lips so that your guilt is taken away and your sin is forgiven." That quickly. Just admit it. Just confess it. As we do together when we come and do this crazy thing where we confess guilt of all sin. Because if you've broken part of God's law, you've broken all of it. And we just say all of it. And what does God say? Every single time, you're all forgiven. All of it. I don't have to slice and dice my life up and try to figure out, well, I was right here and I was wrong there and all that. Where you're doing that, you're trying to justify yourself. Stop it. Just confess it. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Great prayer. The Kyrie. And he says, your sin is all forgiven. So quickly. Centuries after Uzziah, the king, got leprosy, there was another one in Israel begging God's own son, Jesus Christ, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." There was ceremonial uncleanness that didn't always mean it was sin. But that is what Isaiah was feeling. What we feel when we want to confess finally. And leprosy, the way it eats away, kind of like the yeast we were studying in 1 Corinthians 5 this morning in Bible class, leprosy likewise just devastating. Back in the 1990s, there was somebody in a St. Paul hospital that got what they called leprosy. They treated it with lots of antibiotics, but they needed skin grafts. You don't hear about this too much anymore, but in other countries, it's still out there. Dreadful. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What did Jesus say to the man? There's no "go do this" and "go do that." He just says, as he reaches out and touches the man, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately he's healed. That does something to you, as you know, right? There's such a relief when those chains are gone and you're free of that guilt. And instead of guilt, you've got gratitude. An attitude of gratitude that really wants to please the Lord. And you go back to his word, the third use of the law, right? The guide. And sometimes it comes in a question. Isaiah says, "Then, after my guilt was taken away, I heard the Lord's voice saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And just as quickly, 'Here am I. Send me.'" All Jesus' disciples? They're not all called. Even to study for the ministry. You've heard my stories. Had to take a year off from college. Was told by, I won't say who, that if the Apostle Paul gave in to all his fears as you are doing, we would be minus 13 letters of the New Testament.
And I remember reading that from a man who should have known better and thinking, I wasn't struck down on the road to Damascus. I get to make a choice. I prayed for a year. And in the year, God convinced me I really wanted to go back. Serve the Lord with gladness. And I've never been sorry I did. Not even on the worst days. Because on the worst days, I get to get on my knees and go back to the Word of God and have that blessed gospel once again nestled in my heart. What I get to work with, what I'm supposed to work with. Yeah, it tires you out. But it's the very Word of life that gives you new life, right? I'm just saying that because when you get tired and weary, it's like Isaiah said in another place, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This Isaiah, who needed his lips cleansed because he realized he was the least qualified, was also given God's empowering grace to hear that question of questions. Who shall I send and who will go for us? And you, my dear Christian friends, know people that none of the rest of us know. God could put us all in one big happy family, shut us off from the world. As I served on the Minnesota Mission Board, we had to remind congregations we are not called to be hospitals for saints. So no, it's not a good idea to build your new church in some corner of a cornfield someplace where you can shut yourself off from the world and nobody will find you. Might be better to be between some really busy roads in a very expensive piece of property that the Lord gives you almost practically so. All these years later, bless us beyond that. Because there's an epiphany moment that's got to come for other people too. And it's not necessarily going to be at the time of your choosing or in the way it comes. Or the way you want it. Our hymn of the day, I hear the Savior calling. I told you to look at the author of that, John Lorenz. So many stories could be told. His father was Carl Lorenz of the seminary back in the day. John Lorenz, born 1943, called to heaven September 22nd, 2024. What were we doing September 22nd at this church? Yes. Just dawned on me this morning. 40th anniversary of my ministry. God's grace, His kindness. That's when Brother John, Dr. John, was called home to heaven. If I had accepted the call to the seminary in Hong Kong, I would have been on the faculty. Didn't get to have him in school, but he was one of those two. Wherever he was giving a summer quarter class or whatever, that was the one that I signed up for. He got his doctorate, but not too many Wells pastors did, in Hebrew studies. So he could read Hebrew and bring us insights that he couldn't get if he couldn't read Hebrew. Wonderful blessings. I think the last class I got to take with him were Shadows of the Savior in Leviticus. I didn't have a clue how many shadows that were there. But this particular hymn has a story behind it. It's in the handbook for the red hymnal, the old red. And I just want to read this paragraph now because this is the story behind this hymn. And how God gets us to that honest admission, but then still gives us empowering grace. John Lorenz writes, Handbook to Christian Worship, "My wife and I were expecting our first child. The baby, Ruth, was born in its sixth month and baptized, but died. I wrote the hymn on the day Ruth died. time of personal sadness, but also one of joy and being comforted with the baptism that our little girl or our little daughter received. Joy through the tears. None but his loved ones know. Oh, God works that awesome miracle, an honest admission, and through the tears, still gives us hope and joy of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the one who is holy, holy, holy is the one who says, I am the Lord who makes you holy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the least qualified.